Today on Real Radio.
Jesus confronts to deliver. This is, to me, what I'm about to say here is more terrifying than the story. Not all demonic manifestations and activity is foaming at the mouth with claws and hair.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at a section in chapter 8 which demonstrates that part of the Messiah's ministry was to confront evil in a very real and direct way. It's a study taken from Luke 8 and verses 26 through 39. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called When Jesus Goes to Work.
Jesus is not afraid of the dark. He's not afraid of any demonic activity that he's going to be heading into. He confronts it head on. He'll go right into it. And whatever is going on in your life and my life, even if it is demonic, the Lord is there. Boy, I wish we had the time to get into things that go on in life that the Bible clearly suggests that could be very much demonic, but we write them off as natural things. We can't do that. Time doesn't allow it. But know this, be comforted that the Lord deals with things on his terms and regarding his time. Look at verse 27. And the time and the place is on his timing or on his clock. It says here, verse 27, when, the word means instantly, when Jesus stepped out onto the land, getting out of the boat, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. This is an amazing word because here, when or instantly in Greek, Jesus is in the boat with the guys heading towards this destination. And you got to wonder, these are good Jewish boys in the boat. They're heading toward this location that everybody knew about. Could they have said maybe, Jesus, don't you want to turn left or turn right? Anything but straight. You're heading to the wrong area. It's not recorded, but maybe they counseled him. Jesus, don't you want us to turn left? Maybe we should tack left or tack right. No, straight ahead's fine. It's Gadara. Nobody goes to Gadara. There's a big graveyard in Gadara, and there's demoniacs in Gadara. Lunatics, demon-possessed people. Jesus says, just keep the compass right straight ahead. Would God do that? Oh, God does that. God goes right into it. He's not afraid of it. He conquers the darkness with the light. My friend, listen. Where and how did Jesus meet you? Where was that place? Were you in a bar? Were you in a hotel room? Where were you? It's absolutely interesting. I met Jesus Christ. I did not wake up that day and say, I'm going to meet the Lord tonight. It was a Monday night. It was June 20th, 1977. I was going to a party. I don't remember that date because I was going to a party. I'd gone to a bunch of parties. What was different about that day? I never made it to the party. God had a party in store that I was not aware that I was invited to. I was driving down the street, saw two really cute girls pull into a parking lot, and I thought, wow, they're worth following. I pulled into the parking lot. Little did I know they were walking into a church. I didn't know what that Maranatha dove, what was that mean? What does that dove mean? You ever seen the Calvary dove? What does that mean? It's a bird. It barely looks like a bird. What is that thing? I didn't care. Hey, what's going on? I walk in there and there's, you know, wow, bunch of people my age. What's happening? Man, that music's loud. Well, this is great. And then this guy comes out looking like a full-blown hippie, long, incredible hair. It was Greg Laurie. And he starts giving the message. I'd never heard the Bible before. I was so convicted. And I accepted Christ that night. I didn't understand exactly what he was saying. I knew that it was true, though. I knew it was true. And I was in deep trouble. I knew that. Nobody had to convince me of that. He does it, that is, the Lord reaches out even to this man that's possessed, as you shall see in a moment, on his terms and in his timing. And God reached out to you in your timing. And maybe for some of you today, it is your time today to hear that Jesus Christ died for you, that he died for all the world. But listen, it only benefits those who trust him, that take up that gift of offering that he provides to you and you apply it to your life, Jesus Christ. Well, not only that, when we look at this man who's demon-possessed, the Bible makes it very clear to us that regarding demonic activity, there are regions, there are locations, there are territories that have demonic powers and influences over them. That is a biblical fact. In fact, you can study the book of Daniel, and there you will find that there is a demonic persuasion during the book of Daniel over, imagine, gee, I wonder if he's left, a demon that controlled the region of Iran, the prince of Persia. I think that demon is awake and doing very fine today, the way things, the news is happening. The Bible says, imagine, the Bible teaches that there are domains and realms that demonic and heavenly angelic forces work and play and argue in war throughout this world. Invisible host of powers. Does America have a protecting angel? I can assume so from what Daniel records. Does America have an attacking demon or demonic angel of some sort? So you can understand that perhaps from the Bible. Wow. See, what's in our lives, church, is not what we can touch and feel and see. There are things happening behind this physical world scene that the Bible says are heavenly or demonically energized. Well, it's not only that he has the place and the time, and it's on his time, but look at verse 27. The Lord picks the time and the place based upon his concerns. This poor man had no clothes. He didn't live in a house, and he lived in tombs. He lived in a graveyard. And church, some of us, a few trips ago, we didn't go last year, but some of us have been to this location. It's pretty amazing. First of all, nothing lives there. There's it's abandoned area, Gadara, Kersey today. And there is this graveyard. Church, watch this. The graveyard that this man was living in still exists today in part. What I mean by that is the actual graveyard that this man walked around and lived in is about 15 feet below the surface. When you go there today, you're on top of ancient old graves that are about 1,000 years old. But you can go down through cracks if you take the time and get down into the catacombs of these graves of the very strata, the time frame of where this man lived. It's a real place. Not only that, it's not only a real place, but right next to it is a place with a steep cliff, and it's very unique to all of the Sea of Galilee. More on that in a moment. Why is it that this man was bound or kept in a graveyard area? Why is it that we have little creepy, weird things about graveyards? I mean, some people do. I think they're kind of beautiful. I take a camera. My wife thinks I'm nuts. But I'll take a picture of graveyards. They just look amazing to me. I don't know. But I'm always thinking when I'm doing a funeral, a graveside service, it never leaves me to be thinking, Lord, please come right now. Can you imagine the dead in Christ rising first? Whoa! Wouldn't that be great? And now we lay our bread. Whoa! Hey! Wow! You know what I'm talking about? The rapture? Anybody? You know what I'm talking about? Wouldn't that be cool? That'd be fun. Anyway. But there's this thing, and this demon had this man bound there. The guy's naked. He's obviously filthy and abused and a horrible state, a horrible condition. Demonized man. Alive, but kind of half dead, so to speak. What a horrible life. Could anything be like that today? Could a man be so tormented today that what do we do if we don't believe in what the Bible has to say? Would we put somebody away, lock them away, maybe in a crazy house? How do you know they're crazy? They could be crazy, but what if they're not crazy? What if we saw this guy? Could it be that the Bible is true and there's still people around the world today that are demonically possessed? The Bible says yes. You know, it's alarming. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but concerning the Lord picking the time and the place, and the time and the place are his concerns, Jesus loved this guy. If this guy walked into this sanctuary right now, I guarantee you, you guys would run out the other way. He had been demon-possessed by a lot of demons for a long time. We shall see in a moment that he cut himself with stones. He broke chains that people wrapped them up with. The guy was absolutely terrifying. Hey, let me tell you, have you been down to Sunset or Hollywood Boulevard lately? Look, I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to go there. That's a scary place. You see people that are walking and they're talking to themselves and they're like, they're getting in an argument with a traffic light. And there's people cussing and cursing and kicking and punching a fire hydrant and their knuckles are broken. You think that, what do you think? Could it be? I'm not going to say everything is. No way would I say that. But what if? What if we were to say, in the name of Jesus? Can you imagine? Jesus confronts to deliver. Jesus doesn't fight anybody. He doesn't have to fight. He confronts to deliver. This is, to me, what I'm about to say here is more terrifying than the story. Not all demonic manifestations and activity is foaming at the mouth with claws and hair. Paul the Apostle tells us something interesting in 2 Corinthians 11 that ought to get our attention. You're not going to like what I'm about to say here, and you're certainly not going to like what Paul says. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 says, "For there are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder," wow, really? "For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Wow, did you hear that? It's one thing to see some guy freaking out and breaking chains and running through a graveyard, but Paul the Apostle is warning us that there is also the white-collar side of demonic satanic activity that is dressed up so much and so well-respected and so much looked toward in the realm of religion that you can find them in pulpits. What do you think that verse means? They're dressed like men or women of righteousness. They look just like the real thing. Well, my goodness, Pastor, how are we going to tell them apart? Well, it says right here, whose end will be according to their works. Interesting, huh? They might preach one thing, but they'll live the other thing. They might, in front of the cameras, preach Jesus, but in private, they live altogether different. Are you not sick of seeing such things? Have you not read too much of newspapers who reveal these kind of shysters? The Bible says that Satan's got the power to transform himself into an angel of light. The word means that he can appear to convince you, not you. But if you're not a Christian, you're wide open to the deception of Satan. Hey, you say, man, that's freaky weird. Hey, the Bible tells us that we better be careful how we treat strangers. Because unaware, we can be hosting an angel and not know it. They have the ability, angels do, have the ability to take on human form. So be nice to the person sitting next to you. You never know. But people are suckers for religious settings and religiosity. And Satan loves that. Lead people astray. No, God wants you to live for him and unto him. Tertullian wrote this, "To the glory of God is a man fully alive." Isn't that a great word? To the glory of God is a man who's fully alive. Well, what would Satan offer instead? Religion that leads you through a pattern of human laws and human rules, and this is how you attain, and if you're good enough, you can be part of our club. You'll never find that in the Bible. Jesus spoke against organized religion more than anybody. I'm not saying, don't take me wrong. What you are doing right here, right now, is ordained of God, and it's biblical and right. But if you left this setting today and went to your home fellowship, home run group tonight, that is equally blessed by God as well. Both are true, both are right. But when somebody fragments off and says, I am your, and this is coming on the scene now around America, really big right now, I'm your leader, and I'll tell you who to marry. And those of us who have been around in the 70s remember this stuff. I'll tell you who to marry, and I'll tell you what to do with your money, and I'll tell you when to sell your home. That's called the shepherding movement, and it's coming back. Watch out. It's dangerous. Look to Jesus. Follow him. It is very direct what Christ is doing here in our message. And the fact of the matter is, he's very concerned about this man, and he's concerned about us. Secondly, when Jesus goes to work, verses 28 to 33, the Lord breaks the strongholds. I love this. Before we get into the bits and pieces of this, do you have any stronghold in your life that you're struggling with? I don't care what it might be. Are you struggling with it? Could it be a temper? Smoking? Is it overeating? Is it temptations that are driving you? Whatever it is. Listen, it's God's will, and he's desiring to bring the power of Christ into your life to set you free from anything that holds you down. God wants you free and bound to nothing. Think about that. Remember that. Now, here we go. In verses 28 and 29, we read this, that Jesus Christ confronts the powers of darkness absolutely in its face. When he, that is the man, saw Jesus, he cried out. One of the Gospels said he cried out and began to worship Jesus. Seems to be a conflict where he's kind of in his right mind and then not tormented like that. Here it says that he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice, notice what he says, the demon speaks out of this guy's mouth. What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. Another gospel records this. What have you to do with us, Jesus, thou Son of God? Have you come to cast us into the pit or to put us in a place that is called the abuso, the destination of demons? Have you come to do this to us now? Isn't it interesting that the demons knew exactly who Jesus was, even though Israel was still trying to figure that out? Isn't it interesting that they said the right terminology? You are Jesus, the Son of God. And listen, in Greek, it is awesome. It's what people said. We know, as Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In our Western culture, we think that the Son is lesser than the Father in our culture. I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to your dad. That's the Western view. In the Middle East, listen, whatever the Son says is exactly representation of the Father, and the Father and the Son have equal absolute powers and authority. When the Son says in Israel about the Father's business to somebody else, if the Son says, listen, this is what we're going to do, nobody says, I want to talk to your dad about this. They know if the Son said it, that's it. The Son and the Father speak in perfect unison. That's why when the demon said, we know who you are, Jesus, Son of God, they were clearly announcing, you're Jesus, God's manifestation on earth. What you say is what it is. Please don't send us in the pit before the time comes. Don't send us into hell, the abuso, any sooner than what we know we're going to be in. Isn't that interesting? They knew their destination. I think that's kind of cool. You got to remember that next time you get spooked out. It's interesting what the darkness knows, huh? He confronts darkness. Verse 29 goes on there. It says, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for he had often seized him. That is, the demons seized the man who was kept under guard by them, bound with chains and shackles. No doubt people put chains on this poor guy, but he broke the bond, superhuman strength, and was driven by the demons into the wilderness. Wow, what a freaky man's life. How horrible is this? This guy is absolutely tormented. Again, one of the Gospels, Mark's Gospel, tells us that he cuts himself with stones and would cry out and scream from the mountains to the wilderness. What a horrible, horrible situation. Well, the guy must have been a mess to see. Naked, sliced up, scarred. Horrible representation of a human life. Didn't Jesus say in John chapter 10 that the enemy, Satan, has come to rob and to kill and to destroy? I want to argue that in our world, there are things going on that may look normal to you, normal, on the headline news. When you hear about stuff where a man has raped a child, I'm sure the human can be very debased, obviously. But some stuff you begin to wonder, you know what? Is this not demonically powered somewhere? Things that we could never speak about public and things that I don't want to even talk about private. Things that law enforcement officers and investigators will tell you or tell me you don't want to hear about. They're not human things. that people do to other people? Where does it come from? And why is it increasing? Why are there groups? Why are there law enforcement divisions in cities that are now appropriated to ritualistic investigations? Did you know that? Why was it that there were some men in this church who investigated the horrible, demonic rampage of the guy, Richard Ramirez? Anybody remember Richard Ramirez? The things that went on at those crime scenes, we could never speak about. They're beyond human. Unbelievable stuff. And by the way, you know Richard Ramirez never broke into a building, never broke into a house. You know what he said in his own words? He said, I knew what house to walk into because Satan's face would appear to me and tell me that house right there is unlocked. Third one over, right there. You say, I don't believe it. I don't care if you believe it or not. He believed it. And he said Satan told him to go to that house. And he walked into the home, unlocked, and murdered those people and did what he did. What is going on? Jesus has the power over that. Even if this world, according to the book of Revelation, things like this escalate more, the Bible says Jesus is still greater. Interesting. I personally believe that if there's anything that degrades the human life, a human being, now you're going to get mad at me. Listen to this. The Bible says you've been created in the image of God. The Bible says that if you're a Christian, your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. God honors his own handiwork. You are valuable. But what do we see the world doing right now? We see this big, big craze about this street fighting stuff to the point where people die. You think that's what God wants? Well, you know what? I beat him to the point where he... Oh, do you think God wants that? And here you go. I'm sorry about this. But there's a real popular show that used to be on. I don't know if it's on anymore. God would not let me watch it. I could not watch it. I'd get up and leave. When someone would sit down and eat things to get $50,000 that not even an animal would eat. An animal knows not to eat it, but a human would eat it. I believe that you are degrading and devaluing the human being when you do that. That's insane.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called When Jesus Goes to Work. It's a look at Luke chapter 8 and verses 26 through 39. Part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. In just a moment, we'll tell you the different ways you can get in touch with us, so have pen in hand or keyboard at fingertips to take down the information. But first, we want to remind you of a couple of outreaches here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. The first, Journey. Journey with Jack Hibbs. You may have heard us talk about our television program called Journey with Jack Hibbs. Well, it can be seen anytime by online means, including hischannel.com. Hischannel.com. Which also airs our midweek study on Wednesday nights. And the current series Jack is delivering is called The Disciplines of Life, a very good and necessary series taken from Scripture. Remember that to be a disciple of Jesus means to be disciplined by Him. And that's what this series is about. We do have a link to hischannel.com at our website, realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can give us a call at 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous donations of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.